God's Road Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
I've entitled the message for this morning, Why Hast Thou Forsaken Me? These were the words of the Lord from the cross. Why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken by his Father. Why? At 9 a.m., the Lord Jesus was nailed to a cross, and it was the third hour, and they crucified him. Verse 33 of Mark chapter 15, and when the sixth hour was come, the Lord had been hanging on that cross for 3 hours, and at noon, the zenith of the sun. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. 3 hours of darkness while the Lord was hanging on that cross. The sun stopped shining. This was not a solar eclipse. The sun stopped shining. In Luke's account, it says darkness covered the whole earth. And not that this proves it, but there are accounts in other literature outside the Bible that talk of this event when the sun quit shining on that day. Now, there's no record of what was said during that 3 hours. I'm sure people were terrified to see the sun stop shining. People didn't know what to make of this. And then at 3 p.m., we have this cry from the darkness. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, this is a quotation of our Lord from Psalm 22:1, which is said to be the Psalm of the Cross. Now let me show you how this psalm is the Psalm of the Cross. We read in verse 16 of Psalm 22, "For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet." He says in the verse after that, "They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture." Now this is the Psalm of the Cross, written 1,000 years before it took place. But this is David speaking prophetically of the cross. And he begins this psalm with this statement, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The Lord had lived for 33 years in perfect communion with his Father. He had no sin to mar any of that. He said, "I do always those things that please the Father." His Father said of him, "This is my beloved Son, the Son of my love, in whom I am well pleased." How pleased the Father was with the Son as he beheld him working out a perfect righteousness in obedience to his Father's will. Now, it was said of this one, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God as a distinct person from God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. This one who was a distinct person from God was God. God the Son, equal to the Father. The Son of God. Now, when he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? At that time when he was forsaken, abandoned by God, he was no longer with God. He was forsaken by God. He was abandoned by God. Now in that Psalm 22:1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And why art thou so far from helping me? And the words of my roaring. His friend Judas betrayed him, and his father did not help him. He's brought before the high priest and the chief priests. Accusations are brought against him. He's mistreated, and his father did not help him. He is brought before Pilate. He is physically tortured, abused, mocked, and made fun of. And his father did not help him. He is nailed to a cross, and his father does not help him. And he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The sun quit shining as he hung on the tree. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now there's so little we can really understand of this, and the Lord made us to know that when he turned the lights out to make us understand that there's much in this we'll never enter into. This is a transaction between the Father and the Son. But this was the Savior's darkest moment, and it was the apex of his obedience. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, I have 3 points to this message. The reality of him being forsaken. The reason that God forsook him. And the results of God forsaking him. And may the Lord enable us to, by his grace, hear the gospel in this cry of our Lord from the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, the first point is the reality of him being forsaken. When David said this in Psalm 22, verse 1, did he know this was a prophecy? I don't know. There are some scriptures that indicate he knew exactly what he was saying every time he said it. Psalm 16, he knew he was speaking of the resurrection, according to Acts chapter 2. But did he know he was speaking prophetically at this time? Perhaps, but I do know this. David felt forsaken. Have you ever felt forsaken? Have you ever felt like your prayers didn't go past the ceiling and that God was not hearing you and abandoned you and would have nothing to do with you? David felt that way, but God never forsook him. He may have felt that way, but he was never forsaken by God. But the Lord Jesus Christ was truly forsaken by God. First of all, he was forsaken by his people. You know, the scripture says all the disciples forsook him and fled. And he didn't have them saying, we know you're doing this for us and we love you for it. No, they hightailed out of there. They didn't want to be identified with him. They forsook him. He was forsaken by his father. And he didn't have the father saying, I know these sins really aren't yours, but they belong to your people, but you're bearing them. Nothing like that. He felt nothing but the awful frown and wrath of his father. He didn't have his father saying, I know these sins are not yours, nor could he think to himself, I realize these sins really aren't mine, and I'm only bearing the sins of my people. That was not his experience on the cross. Now, I know I don't understand this, but I know God forsook him because he was made sin. And he didn't feel, well, at least these sins are not mine. You know, if you felt that way, you couldn't feel the shame of them. But the scripture says he felt the shame of those sins. He felt the shame of the commission of those sins. Even though he had never committed them, those sins actually became his. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And at this time, he is feeling the wrath of God, being forsaken and abandoned by God. He felt the full equivalent of an eternal hell. And in him feeling the wrath of God, it was unlike anybody else. Because anybody else who has felt the wrath of God, they've hated him. They've been cursing him. They would, if they could, make it to where he was no longer existence. They have no love but only hatred for God as he pours his wrath upon him. But this one experienced the wrath of God who loved him with a perfect heart and a perfect love. And he loved him supremely. And his his experience was infinitely worse than anybody else has ever experienced. He really was forsaken by God. He couldn't even call God Father at this time. He doesn't say, my Father, why have you forsaken me? He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Martin Luther said about this statement, God forsaking God, no one can understand this. He really was forsaken, abandoned by God, left to himself, feeling the full fury and wrath and indignation of God. Now, second question. Why was he forsaken? God really forsook him. He said, why are you so far from helping me and the words of my roaring? Why was he forsaken? Well, in Psalm 22:3, he answers that question, thou art holy. Thou art holy. Now, here is what was going on. Why was he forsaken? Because that is what I deserve. Now, I can say I deserve to be forsaken, and I know it's right, but do I really feel that? Well, sometimes to a measure, sometimes not. I can be so self-righteous and so hard-hearted and so blind to what I am, and I may feel it to a measure, I may not even really believe it. Here's how I know I deserve to be forsaken. Here's how I know. He was. He is taking what I personally deserve. Now that's how I see the fullness of my sin, not by looking within and feeling convicted, but by seeing what he experienced on Calvary's tree. I know this. He is taking what I deserve, to be abandoned, forsaken by God. 1 Peter 2, chapter 24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. My sin became his sin, so that the forsaking that I deserve, he took. David said, I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Now, when he was forsaken by a just and holy God, he was not forsaken as a righteous man, but as a guilty man. He is being treated how he deserved to be treated, by a holy and a just God. 2 Corinthians 25, chapter 5, verse 21 says, For he hath made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, there are two scriptures that I'm going to give. There are many other scriptures I could give, but let me give you a couple of scriptures that let us know that this sin became his sin. Now, in Psalm 40, we read in verse 7 and 8, Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it's written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Now, this is quoted in Hebrews chapter 10 as the very words of Christ. So, in Psalm 40, Christ is speaking. And look what he says in verse 12, this is the same one speaking, For innumerable evils have compassed me about, mine iniquities. Not Todd's iniquities that were charged to my account. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They're more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. In Psalm 69, we read, this once again is the Psalm of the Cross. It says in Psalm 69, verse 20, Reproach hath broken my heart. I'm full of heaviness. I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. For comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat. And in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. Now see, those are once again are prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And look what he says. He says in this same psalm, Save me, O God, for the waters are coming to my soul. He's talking about what he experienced on the cross. I sink in deep mire where there's no standing. I'm coming to deep waters where the floods overflow me. I'm weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without cause, and that's spoken of Christ in John chapter 15. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not. Who could that be but Christ? O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. For his righteousness to become my personal righteousness, not in word only, but in reality, my sin had to become his personal sin, not in word only, but in reality. And he is treated as a damned soul being made a curse. The wages of sin is death. If God did not forsake him, it would be contrary to his holy, just nature. He forsook him because he was indeed guilty. That's why he was forsaken by God. He was forsaken by God because this is God's eternal purpose. Revelation chapter 13, 8 says he's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, he's the lamb forsaken from the foundation of the world. He's the lamb resurrected from the foundation of the world. This is God's eternal purpose. The universe was created for this to take place. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and with wicked hands have crucified and slain. He said, For this cause came I into this hour. The cup which my Father gave me to drink, shall I not drink it? He was forsaken because this is God's eternal purpose. Why was he forsaken? That he might glorify his Father. Now listen to me. I say this reverently. This is the most godlike thing God ever did. when he forsook his son as the sinner substitute, how he glorified every attribute of God. Romans 8:32 says he spared not his own son. How that glorifies God's absolute justice. He would not let sin go unpunished, even on his only begotten and well-beloved son. He spared not his own son. How that magnifies the amazing love and grace and mercy of God that he would give his son for sinners. He spared not his own son. How that glorifies his wisdom in making a way for him to be absolutely just and yet justify ungodly sinners in a way that glorifies his justice. Listen to me, it's not just the mercy and grace of God that demand my salvation, it's the absolute justice of God that demands my salvation because of what he accomplished on Calvary's tree. He spared not his own son. How that glorifies the sovereign purpose of God. He purposed this before creation, and it comes to pass in time. He spared not his own son. How this glorifies Christ's willing obedience to his Father, to come and do what his Father called upon him to do. Why was he forsaken? Because of his love for his people. He was going to take their sin because he loved them. He loved his bride. Now, some have said that Adam, remember he watched Eve eat the fruit. Maybe he wasn't even there when she ate it. And he comes up and she said, look, I ate this fruit. It's good. Some have supposed that Adam knew what was going to happen. He knew that it was an act of rebellion against God, but because of the love he had to Eve, he decided to go ahead and eat the fruit and fall with her. Now, is that the case? I don't know. In a way, I doubt it, because when he ate the fruit, it was an act of rebellion against God. You can't. That seems almost noble, you know, the way he went down with Eve. And this was an act that he plunged our entire race into being dead and sinned, and I don't want to put anything noble about that. But when the Lord Jesus Christ willingly took my sins, it's because of his love for me, for his whole bride. He did what he did out of love for his bride. He would bear the full curse and responsibility of their sins because he loved them, what it cost him. And Christ did this to show us what trust is. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now, what are the results of him being forsaken? We see the reality of him being forsaken. We see the reason he was forsaken. What are the results of him being forsaken? Matthew 1:21, the opening chapter of the New Testament, we read this. The angel said to Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. When he was forsaken and died, and was raised again, shall is changed to he has saved his people from their sins. They've been completely saved from their sins. My sins cannot condemn me because he put them away. I'm saved from the penalty of sin. I'll never have to pay for it. I'm saved from the power of sin. I can now do what I could not do before. I can believe the gospel. I can love God for who he is because I've been given a new nature. And I will be saved from the very presence of sin, perfectly conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ because he was forsaken. I will be saved. I am saved from all my sins. And now he says to me, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. because he was forsaken, I will never be forsaken. Now, here's why he has no reason to forsake me. Because of what he did for me when he bore my sins, not only did he put those sins away, he justified me. He made me so I have no guilt. He made me so I stand perfectly righteous before God. The scripture actually describes every believer in Colossians 1:22 as holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. He made his bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He has no reason to forsake his people. They're the perfect bride by what he did for them. By one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. What are the results of him being forsaken? Well, his people will never forsake him. Jeremiah 32:4 says, I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I'll put my fear in their hearts so that they shall not depart from me. Now, if I could fall away, I would fall away. But I can't fall away. Therefore, I will not fall away. He said, I give unto my sheep eternal life. None of his people will ever forsake him. They'll persevere all the way to the end. Now, this is a true story. There was a missionary who was trying to preach the gospel to a tribe that had a very limited vocabulary. And he tried to present the gospel. And then he asked the people, have you heard what I said? Do you understand what I'm saying? And a woman replied to him. Here's what she heard when he preached the gospel to her in this primitive language. He die or me die. He died. Me no die. That is the gospel. Either I die or he's going to have to die for me. If he died for me, I cannot die because all my sin has been put away. Now, because he was forsaken, everybody he died for, everybody he represented, will never be forsaken. Thank God, bless Christ, that he was pleased to be forsaken by his Father, so that he could glorify his Father and that his church would never be forsaken. We have this message on DVD, CD. If you call the church, write, email, or look on our website. We'll send you a copy. You can get a copy on our website. This is Todd Nybert.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nybert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.